Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for this morning comes from the epistle lesson, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. For example, consider your call, brothers. Not many of you were wise from a human point of view, not many were powerful, and not many were born with high status. But God chose the foolish things of the world to put to shame those who are wise. God chose the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are strong. And God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to do away with the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. But because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God, namely, our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God did this so that, just as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is our text. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's no secret that people like to talk about themselves. If you've ever read a book on communication or a book about talking with other people, you'll notice a lot of them say the same thing. If you feel a conversation fizzling out, a surefire way to rekindle it is to ask the other person questions about themselves. Where did you go to high school? What are your long-term career goals? If you could relive any moment in your life for the first time, what moment would you choose to relive? People love to talk about their own history. People love to tell their own jokes. And people love to boast about their accomplishments. If you want a real-life example of this, ask me sometime to tell you the story of the time I shot my first doe, and I'd be happy to do so. People love to boast about the things they have done. Those are the stories they love telling the most. In our sermon text this morning, St. Paul warns us against boasting. He shows us that in the case of our own salvation, we have nothing that we can boast about. And he encourages us that we boast in our Savior. Now, I don't think it's an overstep to say that we're living in one of the most vain societies in human history. I'll give you an example of this. In the last 20 years, humankind has made bounds and leaps in the field of technology, leaps that are unparalleled in our entire history. The technology that we have before us in 2023, it would have been considered impossible even 50 years ago. That smartphone that you have sitting in your pocket, well, it's more powerful than all the computing power that NASA used to get to the moon in 1969. And not only is this technology powerful, it's widely available. In our country, it's about as easy to get your hands on a smartphone as it is food and clean water. Now that's amazing. But this technology, like everything else in this sinful world, it comes at a price. You see, the dawn of social media has provided us with a platform in order to display our accomplishments to the entire world. These platforms give us the ability to serve our pride, and they give us a podium in which we can boast from. You could throw a digital rock through the web and hit four or five of these social media sites where we have the ability to see just how many people retweet or like our posts and our pictures. This gives people the ability to inflate their own ego, seeing just how many hundreds or even thousands of people like their posts. Now, even though these platforms give us an excuse to glorify ourselves, they give us a platform, we can't put all the blame on the internet. Boasting was not invented at the same time as Facebook. In fact, boasting's been around for quite a while. Long enough at least for the fact that St. Paul had to write against it. So at least 2,000 years old, I'd wager much, much older. And the boasting that Paul was dealing with, it was causing divisions in the Corinthian church. You see, the Christians in Corinth, they started boasting about who converted them They felt that that put them a little bit higher than others. Some of the Corinthians were saying, I follow Paul. And others were saying, well, I follow Apollos. And still others, I follow Cephas. You see, they were putting all the emphasis on who converted them, and they thought that that created some sort of social ladder. And Paul was trying to squash that. And Paul tells them just a few verses before our reading, in verse 13, Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? You see, Paul is trying to show them that when it comes to matters of faith and salvation, the Christian has nothing to boast about. And for that matter, the Christian pastor has nothing to boast about. Those conversions aren't a victory for the pastor. Those are a victory for Christ. The only boasting that is done should be boasting in Christ. And yet, we see many examples today of this boasting, even in the Christian church. If you ever happen to run into someone who's a member of one of the Reformed churches, a lot of times the question that they will ask you is, when did you make your decision for Christ? When did you decide to let Christ into your heart? You see, they think that it is somehow their choice whether or not they believe in Christ Jesus. Somehow the Christian is able to make that important of a decision? Even though King David tells us in Psalm 51, certainly I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Even though Paul tells us in Romans that the mindset of the sinful flesh is hostile to God, somehow we might think that we can choose to work with God? No. It is abundantly clear that there is nothing in ourselves that is worthy to boast about. When it comes to salvation, we have no business in the pride game. And yet we still want to be boasting. We still want to be better than somebody else. We still want to say, I do this, I don't do that. I go to church, so-and-so doesn't. Yeah, I might have anger issues, but at least I'm not an alcoholic. How hard is it to realize that nothing we do is worthy of boasting? That is why we have a Savior who is worthy to boast about. Even though there is nothing we can do for God that is worthy of boasting, well, St. Paul still tells us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus did not come down from heaven to save the holy and the blameless. He came down to save poor, lowly sinners like you and me. Paul points out to the Corinthians that they weren't high and mighty before they became Christians. They weren't the wealthy citizens of Corinth. They weren't born into the noble families of Corinth. They didn't have jobs that put them in positions of power in Corinth. They were nothing special. Now, were there some members of the church in Corinth that were part of the upper class in Corinthian society? Yeah, sure. But most of them weren't. But that shows the power of God. That shows the power of His Spirit. That shows the power of Christ's sacrifice. Jesus came down from heaven and he lived as one of the lowest people on earth. How many can say they were born in a stable and put in a manger? Jesus can. How many can say they had to flee their home as an infant because their lives were in danger? Jesus can. And he was perfect throughout all of this. You and I, we have our sins that we struggle with. We face temptation every day. But Jesus was tempted in every single possible way. And he came out the other side perfect. And even though he was holy, blameless, perfect, he still suffered. He allowed himself to be nailed to a cross in one of the most humiliating ways possible. He suffered and died so that you and I might have eternal life. And Jesus demonstrated his victory over death by rising from the dead on that third day. We boast so boldly in Christ's resurrection that we changed our day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, so that every time we gather to worship our Savior, we are reminded of his victory on that first Easter Sunday. That is something worth boasting about. That is our God looking at us, the foolish things of this world, the lowly things of this world, the despised things. That's us. And God looks at us and he says, "Those are my children. Those are my heirs. Those are the ones who will join me in life everlasting." How fitting it is then that we boast in our Savior and what he has done for us. Our Savior takes care of us. He brought us to faith and gifted us with his sacraments. By the working of his Spirit and the Word, we are brought to faith in baptism. And at the Lord's table, our faith is strengthened in the Lord's Supper. Not because of anything we have done. Martin Luther wrote concerning the sacraments, "It is the highest art to know that our sacrament does not depend on our worthiness. We are not baptized because we are worthy and holy, nor do we go to confession because we are pure and without sin. On the contrary, we go because we are poor, miserable people. We go because we are unworthy." Luther understood it. Everything that our Savior has done for us, it has no correlation with our own participation. We bring nothing to the table. It is the everlasting love and patience that our Savior has for us. Paul says, "But because of him, you are in Christ Jesus." He says again in Ephesians, "Indeed, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." That's half of the equation. Don't boast in yourself. Here's the other half of the equation. Do boast in Christ. He is the one who is worthy. He is the one who did it all. Boast in him. Amen. And may this peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus. Amen.